This is VOA News. We have a vote. I'm Melissa Belton. Federal Appellate Court Judge Amy Coney Barrett advanced another step Sunday to winning confirmation to a lifetime appointment on the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Senate voted to end Democrats' filibuster on her nomination. They set up a Monday night vote on her all-but-certain confirmation to the seat left vacant by the death last month of a liberal icon, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The conservative Barrett would be President Donald Trump's third appointment to the court and significantly tip its ideological balance toward a 6-3 majority. Barrett could be sworn in by Tuesday, in time to hear any voting disputes related to Trump's November 3rd re-election bid against Democratic challenger Joe Biden. Barrett could recuse herself from consideration of such cases since Trump appointed her to the court, but she has declined to say at her confirmation hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee whether or not she would recuse herself. She would likely be among the justices hearing a new challenge November 10th on whether to invalidate the country's Affordable Care Act, which Mr. Trump has sought to overturn. Barrett appears to have at least a 52-vote majority in the 100-member Senate for confirmation, all of those Republicans, and more if any Democrats vote in her favor. Republican U.S. President Donald Trump and his Democratic challenger, former Vice President Joe Biden, are campaigning today to fire up their supporters and sway the last remaining undecided voters 9 days ahead of the national election. Mr. Trump is headed to rallies in the northeastern states of New Hampshire and Maine. Mr. Biden on Sunday is making a virtual appearance at a concert aimed at getting people out to vote. While Trump has continued to stage large outdoor rallies despite the pandemic, Mr. Biden has stuck to smaller gatherings and virtual appearances. This is VOA News. More than 58 million Americans have already voted, about two-thirds of them by mail and about a third in person, with many of them saying they wanted to do so ahead of Election Day to avoid coming face-to-face with other people amid the coronavirus pandemic and long voting lines that are expected. Polls show that perhaps less than 5% of voters have not decided on voting for Trump or Biden, making it especially imperative for their two campaigns to identify existing supporters and make sure they get to the polls. Thousands of protesters gathered in Bangkok's central shopping district Sunday after the prime minister ignored a deadline from the movement to resign. Last week, largely student-led protests demanded that Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha, who seized power in a 2014 coup, resign by Saturday evening. As the deadline came and went, protesters returned to the streets to continue to demand his ouster. The renewed protest come ahead of a special parliamentary session on Monday, which is aimed at easing political tensions amid the ongoing protests. Prayut has described the special session as a step forward toward finding a so-called middle-of-the-road path. In addition to changes in the Constitution, demonstrators are seeking to reduce the influence of the Thai monarchy. The institution maintains a divine-like status among Thailand's elite and is protected by strict laws that allow for imprisonment of anyone convicted of insulting the monarchy. 1 year after more than a million people flooded downtown Santiago to the biggest march of Chile's current social uprising, Chileans voted Sunday on whether to change the country's constitution, which many feel favors the wealthy. Opinion polls show more than 70% support a new constitution. Just 17% would vote for its rejection. A protest movement which had daily drawn thousands onto the streets reached critical mass last October. And within weeks, President Sebastián Piñera had agreed to start the process of drafting a new constitution. Demand for the new constitution has been a recurring theme of the protests set off by a hike in public transport fares. They rapidly turned into widespread demonstrations against social and economic inequalities, encompassing health, education, and pensions. And nearly 9,000 people fled their homes in the Philippines as Typhoon Molave made landfall. The typhoon crossed over provinces in the southern part of the main Luzon island on Sunday. It brought heavy rain and strong winds, according to officials. The Disaster Monitoring Agency said it had received reports of damaged roads and bridges and flooding and landslides in some areas, but no casualties so far. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News.